This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring women of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hey guys, welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Cabrera, and I am here with my guest today, Sarah. I cannot wait. I know I always say I can't wait, but I really can't wait. I'm actually super excited about this conversation too. So if you listen regularly, you know that I always start out with, I can't wait to hear this story. But I'm actually genuine in saying that because I just get so enthusiastic about hearing what people have to say about God working in their lives. And today, Sarah's story is incredible. I met her actually at a training, and it's called Entrust, Equipping Women. And Entrust is designed to empower women through spiritual growth and leadership training. And so she and I were in a program that was equipping us with biblical knowledge and leadership skills. And it was just such an incredible experience. But here's the thing that I think is what gets me enthusiastic about today's conversation. So I'm in these classes with Sarah, and she is sharing critical thoughts and intuitive insights of the Bible and quoting scripture. And I could tell she had really deep connection with God. And then after a couple of days, I find out that at one point in her life, she had been a vegetable in a hospital bed with no cognitive ability and no ability to even feed herself or walk or do anything. And now she's sitting next to me all of this. So from that point forward, I was just fascinated. I just wanted to talk to her more, observe her more, hang out with her more, because I thought, you are a walking miracle. I have to learn more about you. So that's how all of this started. And since that training, we kind of discovered at the training that we attend the same church. And here we are a couple years later, we ran into one another and I said, will you please be on my podcast? Because your story is so remarkable. And that is why we're here today. So thank you, Sarah, for joining us. I'm so excited that you're going to be able to share about what God has done in your life here on this podcast.
Absolutely. Oh, Jessica, I love telling people about what God has done. All the glory to Him. For this miraculous journey he has brought me through. And I'm so glad you saw me in church and stopped me. That was great.
So fun. Well, tell us how the whole thing started. I'd like to know about your background as well as how you came to faith.
Absolutely. I was not raised in a Christian family. So my mother was an atheist and my dad was an agnostic. So I really grew up not having any kind of direction, any kind of truth to follow or a plumb line. I had nothing. I was just drifting around. And then when I was beginning junior high, my family was transferred from New York down to Virginia. And so when I started seventh grade, I didn't know anyone. And the first day of seventh grade, I'm coming out of this new school with my tray of food. And I look around in the cafeteria. There are I don't see any empty seats. Nobody knows me. I end up walking over to a windowsill and eating my lunch, standing up at this windowsill with my back to everybody, knowing that they're all looking at me and thinking, what a weirdo. And that's traumatized me mm-hmm. so much to be in that situation. I didn't know the Lord at the time. Several maybe years later, my brother, who was a year ahead of me in school, was invited to a Christian fellowship group called Huguenot House that had students from high school students from all over the city there coming for Bible studies and learning about God. And when my brother went there after a year or so, he accepted Christ, which I had no idea what that even meant. But then he invited me to go. And by the time I started going to this Huguenot House, it was a non-denominational, faith-based meeting that by the time I started to go, there was almost 100 teenagers going. And volunteers would serve a simple meal, and then afterwards, for free, and then afterwards we would sing and then hear the gospel message. I had never heard anything like that before. And when I first started going there, complete strangers, women, young women, girls would come up to me, and they would talk to me, they would be kind to me, and that was such a change from my first day of seventh grade, being so alone. And I kept going back to this Bible study, and eventually I was asked to start reading, going through the Bible, which I had never read before, go through the Gospel of John, which I did, and I kept right on reading till I got to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where he talked about you have been bought with a price from Christ. You no longer belong to yourself. You now belong to Jesus. And that sense of belonging to someone I could trust, that someone who would always be with me, was just such an open door for me to be able to find what I've been searching for.
Wow, that's amazing. So you really realized God is the thing I've been missing.
Yes, because my parents, I mean, they had no basis for whatever they believed, and this was something solid.
Wow. Man. Okay, so that's how it started. You were high school, right? You said high school?
Okay, yes.
High school. So now, naturally, I mean, I already kind of let the cat out of the bag that you've had lots of really remarkable things happen. But you've clearly lived a lot of life, and we're going to get into that in a minute. But I'm just curious, after all of this life that you've lived and experience of from that point that you were in 1 Corinthians and you realized this is what I've been missing, I want this.
Yes.
And you, I'm assuming, I should probably ask, was it in that moment that you surrendered your life to Christ? And you
definitely
said, okay. And you remember it vividly.
I very much do. Yes.
Okay. So that moment, from that moment forward, he's with you. And through the thick and the thin, after all that you've been through, what have you learned about God? What do you, when you think about God, what is it that you have learned about him?
The more I read the Bible, went to Bible studies, went to Christian based, Bible-based churches and things like that, I just wanted to know more about Jesus. I hungered to know who this person was after he has done all of these things for me. I always sought out Bible studies and women's groups and things like that. I just wanted to grow. And Jesus was walking with me every step of the way. And I can see places, especially in college, where I had the opportunity to really make bad decisions. But when I would fall back on my Christian beliefs that this is not a good idea, and I just didn't do it. I remember one time being asked out on a date by a really cute guy, and I realized, wait a minute, I have a Bible study that night. I'm sorry, no. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, that would have been a disaster. I already know that, but God brought those thoughts to mind so to help me make much better decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you just learned that he's with you, and it sounds to me like over time, you had this curiosity about him.
Absolutely. Yeah. That I had nothing growing up anywhere close to this. And it was such a comfort and an excitement.
Is there a certain characteristic of him that sticks out to you when you think about him? Is there one that bubbles up that you're like, man, I just love this part of who God is?
I love the fact that he is unchanging. He's like a rock. And like Hagar, when she realized that this is a God who sees me, and that meant so much to me, that God sees me and he cares about me and he's guiding me. And that was such a comfort, knowing that he has my back. I know if I'm going to make a bad decision, he's going to correct me.
Isn't it incredible that he's so personal?
Yes.
I talk to people all the time on this podcast, and I have my own personal experiences too, that I know he is so incredibly personal into the fine-tuned details of life. And I still am I'm just blown away by it. I can't believe that such an incredible big God that is omnipresent and omniscient and just all the things, right, could possibly be so incredibly personal, but he is, and it's evident in all of our stories. So, I hope I never get bored of how incredible that is. I want to say too about having curiosity to learn more. This is something that I've had different approaches when I read the Bible. To, you know, I went through a long season in my life, especially my younger Christian years, of reading the Bible to try to get something out of it, you know, whether it be guidance or instruction or also like a answer to a question or solving a problem. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's the Bible's there for all of those things. But more recently, in the more recent years, I have really enjoyed reading the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, going to the pages saying, okay, what will I learn about God today? What am I going to, I just want to, there's so much more to know that I haven't really fully grasped yet. And I want to read these accounts of him interacting with man, right, on earth over time in these documented ancient texts. And I want to learn more about him. And it doesn't matter if I'm reading the most boring genealogy or whatever. I'm like, man, it's so cool that he worked through all of those generations in order to accomplish this thing that he had purposed. And I'm learning about him. So anyway, I relate to you in the curiosity to learn more. Okay, so let's talk about some of your experiences when God has shown up and shown him his power and his presence to be very evident to you. What would you like to share with us?
I think that one of the things, especially going through the experience of the embarrassment of not having anybody to talk to or anything like that in seventh grade, and then seeing the love of these Christians, they will know we are Christians by our love. And that was...
Great old song.
Yeah, it is. And that really, I saw it. I saw these people who didn't know anything about me, and they wanted me to be their friend. And they included me. And that has been over and over and over again. Now, when I go to like a Bible study or any kind of a worship service, I am so sensitive to looking around. Are there any women here? Maybe for the first time, they have nowhere to sit. They don't know anyone. And I have been able to go to them and say, are you looking for a place to sit? Please sit with me. And I start off sitting at an empty table and filling it with all these friends that I meet. And I've met some really cool women that way. But that has taught me to really reach out to people. Mm. Maybe they're the first time, and if they don't sit somewhere, they're never coming back. So I want to include them, the whole idea of inclusion in the body of Christ.
Mm. Well, because God is an inclusive God. You know, Christianity gets a rap, or like that God is exclusive, that people feel judged or something. And I just want to say that is a lie. God is not exclusive. The Christian God is the most inclusive religion on earth.
Absolutely.
There are not rules or regulations that you have to follow in order to come to him.
Absolutely.
You can come to him just as you are. Yep. Come one, come all. You are welcome with a seat at the table to feast with me. And Jesus demonstrated that in his life, and he modeled it for us. And any other perception of the Christian God is inaccurate. He is an open arm God.
Absolutely.
Who says anyone can come to me.
Absolutely.
So I love that about what you're sharing. And I also just want to bust that myth a little bit.
Absolutely. That this is an opportunity. And I think that because I'm actually an introvert, believe it or not, and to go out and do things like this is so not my nature.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, because of how God has worked in my life, I want these women to be included.
Mm-hmm.
No matter,
right.
I've never met them before, anything. I want them to know that God loves them.
Okay, Sarah, so we are now, I'm learning a lot about kind of your perception on your experience with God. And so let's talk about some of these harder things that came up in your life, if you're willing to share with us today.
Sure.
Walk us through a little bit of when you started to reach a point in your life when things started to get difficult and you started to experience God through the hardships.
Absolutely. After college, my husband Carl and I got married, and his job took us around different places to live. And I knew that we were having problems in our marriage. We just were not being kind to each other. We were not being sympathetic to each other. But at one point when we were overseas, I wanted to wait until we moved back to Virginia. And then I was going to seek counseling. And when we finally came back to Virginia, and I said to Carl that I really wanted to get some counseling, that I was very unhappy. And he at first was very much against that he didn't need, you know, whatever. But if I needed counseling, fine, go ahead. So after a couple of, after at least a year of going to counseling alone, several different counselors, and they told me that because of the difficulties in our marriage, we needed to separate so that we could each work on our own issues. And when I brought that up to Carl, of course, he was very unsupportive of that. He thought that was ridiculous. But there was a lady in our church, a single lady, who was renting a room. And so I moved in with her, and I was just, I was working part-time, and I completely separated from Carl. He stayed in the house. But we went to counseling, Christian counseling, with the idea that it had to be going towards reconciliation, which neither of us wanted. But we had to go through the motions so we could keep going to counseling. And the more we went through this, the more I was just not happy with this. I felt like God had betrayed me. I felt like I was doing what I was supposed to, and now my marriage is falling apart. I'm feeling hurt. My needs are not being met. And Carl, for his part, was also unhappy with me. We were just miserable. But he did keep saying, you know, divorce, God hates divorce. God hates divorce. So he didn't want to get a divorce. And I was perfectly okay with just staying separated for as long as possible. But we had been separated for about 9 months. And on our 27th anniversary, Carl asked me to please come back so we could go out to dinner. And the next, and then in the morning we would go to church together. So I agreed. I stayed in the guest room, and that night, I had the most horrendous headache I had ever had. I had been getting migraines all my life, for no apparent reason, and this was way worse than any migraine I had ever had. And I knew strokes ran in my family. My father died of a stroke, and so I was always keenly aware of that. So when I finally got up, I was so dizzy, I couldn't even walk. And so I tried to get dressed in my church clothes. I had no idea how to even put a skirt on. And so when my husband found me sitting on the floor, I said, I am having a stroke. I need to go to the emergency room. So he took me to the emergency room. They gave me an MRI. And sure enough, the doctor looking at it could see that I had a stroke, a clot that had broken into two places and lodged in my brain. I had a permanent loss of vision, a partial loss of vision, and the rest of it lodged in my the part of my brain that does all of the executive functions, that the part of your memory, so that once you learn a skill, you don't have to keep relearning it. You can remember that. That was completely wiped out. And so I couldn't tell time. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't walk without help. I had trouble, difficulty even talking. And I couldn't count higher than five because I kept losing my place. I couldn't remember where I was. And so they later found out that I had a hole in my heart that I never knew I had, and a clot had popped through and gone straight up to my brain instead of it's supposed to go through your lungs and whatever. So knowing that, when they sent me home, I couldn't take care of myself, so I could no longer live alone. I now had to move back home with my husband, who I did not want to live with, and he became my primary caregiver. And when we get married, we all go through those vows for better, for worse. And then when we say in sickness and in health, we have no clue what that means. Mm-hmm. And so now Carl is going to have to help me get dressed. He's going to have to help me eat. He's going to have to drive me to all of the occupational therapy that I went through. And all of the, I was so angry. I was so angry with God that he had allowed this to happen. I was perfectly happy. I was going my own way. I was working part-time. I had freedom. I didn't have to worry about fixing meals or anything. I could just do stuff I enjoyed. And, you know, God had to get out his big hammers to get my attention. Wow. That no, I am not independent. I will never be independent of God. And to think I'm good, I'm doing all these things on my own, I was not. And it took a very long time to work back from here. I had to relearn the alphabet. I had to relearn how to read. I had to relearn, you know, right from left, tie my shoes. It was literally like it's having so a five-year-old mind
right.
and a 50-year-old body. Mm-hmm. And eventually God was able to work through Carl and me. I could forgive him for the anger that I felt, for the hurt that I felt. And eventually he was able to recognize how he had really not met my needs. And how we both had a part in this struggle that we were going through.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. So I'm sure when you, I remember when I first heard this part of your story at Entrust, asking you if you, when you were laying there, not able to feed yourself or count the five or whatever, were you able to feel these deep emotions? Were you able to think about these bigger ideas in life? You know, the marriage, the frustrations, the disappointment, the anger towards God. Were all of those things there, but yet you couldn't count to five or you couldn't brush your teeth kind of thing? And remind me what you said. Do you recall what you were, what you felt like in that hospital bed? Do you recall if you could feel these things?
I could. I knew that I still felt angry towards my husband.
Yeah, you
towards
still
God.
Knew all of that.
I still
you had all that context.
Yes, all of that context of why I had separated. The emotions were all still there.
Wow.
They were, the feelings were still very, very raw. But I didn't have, I couldn't articulate
move.
It.
You couldn't speak?
I couldn't. Eventually I was able to get those facilities back and be able to,
interact. Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. With Carl and try, and he was completely at a loss of what to do with me and having
right.
to sit me down and put food in front of me. And it was just terribly humbling and
wow.
it was just, horrible. But, it took me a while to recognize that this was what I needed to go to begin to trust my husband again.
Right.
I had this, it seemed so awful at the time.
Right.
But I needed to go through this.
Yeah. And I do want to clarify for listeners too, just this idea. I just want to kind of call out the thing that might be hard for people to understand. This idea that, you know, you mentioned God had to bring out the heavy hammer kind of thing. And just to understand, because here we are talking about what a loving, gracious, kind God is. And then out of the next sentence, we say, God had to bring out the heavy hammer. And so I just want to be very, very clear that our understanding of this, the way we understand this is a couple of things. First is that God is not a God that yields this like, pain and destruction and stuff towards us. That is not who God is. God is a God that knows what is what we need, mm-hmm. and he will allow things to happen that are not good things, that are part of the way that evil works on earth, right? To cause brokenness and destruction, dissension and chaos and strife and all sorts of things. God will allows those things to happen, but as they happen, he meets us as a tender, loving God to help us through it. And the way that I can, without going down a long rabbit trail on this topic, the best way I can probably explain it in a simple sentence is that God is, when God meets us in that, he wants to turn our darkness into light. And so instead of staying in the dark place, instead of having the stroke and everything unraveling and never having any type of healing or reconciliation or anything, God comes into that dark place and he turns our darkness into light. And praise God for that. He brings hope into despair. He brings joy where there is sadness, and he brings light where there is darkness. And so whenever she experienced this devastating experience, all of it really, like the hardship in the marriage, followed by the hardship of the stroke and so forth, God had not abandoned her. Although he had allowed these things to happen in her life, he had not abandoned her, and he stayed with her, and he said, Sarah, I'm not going to leave you here wallowing in this mess. I am going to turn your darkness into light. And so he stuck with her through all of that to bring good out of a bad situation. So thank you for sharing that part.
Absolutely. It was definitely a course correction,
right,
that I needed, because I was heading for a cliff.
Right, right. Well, we have a few minutes here for the rest of our conversation, and I know that after this really enormous life-changing scenario that took years for you to recover, and Carl had to be there learning how to care for you in a way that was not natural to him. You were having to learn how to be cared for in a way that was not natural to you. And it was just a very, very difficult situation. But clearly, you survived it.
I did.
As you guys are listening, hopefully you're just as impressed as I am. Yeah. I mean, listen to her tell this story and the fact that she couldn't count to five. I'm just like, wow, you know?
Absolutely.
But through that, I know you have a couple of other scenarios too.
Yes.
Where you want to just tell us quickly.
Sure, absolutely.
Kind of,
I'd say about 3 years after my stroke, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm.
And so I had to have a mastectomy. And again, Carl, bless his heart, is now my primary caregiver as I get through that. And I would say 4 years after that, I was diagnosed with a malignant melanoma on my leg.
Wow.
And that had to be removed. And again, he's my caregiver. And I did have the heart operation to close that
hole
in my heart. So that has never, so I don't have to worry about that again.
Mm.
But through all of these things, there is my husband, you know, with the soup and the, you know, the crackers and whatever. Because and a friend once said to me, you know, Sarah, it's not always about you. When God breathes these things into your life, he could be working in the lives of the people around you.
Right.
And I think that that was very true. This was something that both Carl and I had to go through.
Yeah, it was transforming his life as
Absolutely.
He was mustering up. I mean, I'm sure for him, it was like he just had to find a way to do it, even though it was hard, really, really hard for him. And likewise for you, you were like, I have no choice. I mean, I'm dying of cancer twice in a row.
Exactly.
And I was dying of a stroke. What am I supposed to do? I have to muster through this.
And it wasn't something that I had done. It's not like I had been doing things to myself. These were just out of the blue.
Circumstances that you just can't control
or protect yourself from or anything. It just happens.
Yeah, it just happened. And so why don't you tell us, after going through these big things, what is it that, first of all, tell us about now. So, like, tell us how, what kind of healing took place? Not just physical healing for you, because we obviously know that happened. Yes.
I heard somebody say one time when they had gone through a tough situation, "Are you sorry you went through the situation?" And the person replied, "I'm sorry I went through it, but I am not sorry for the things I learned."
Oh, I love that.
And so I did learn that God has a plan, and I don't understand what the plan is, and it doesn't do any good for me to rage or get angry, because this plan has been in place since the beginning of beginning of time, and God is preparing me for a relationship with Him in heaven. And so all of these things, nothing goes to waste. None of these trials go to waste. Everything teaches us about Christ and about God. And it's like when I do my Bible studies, a lot of times I go through the actual names and characters of God. And it's endless. It's endless. And each day when I'm learning about His compassion and how that it relates to me and how that helps my relationship with Jesus and with the people around me. And so it's endless. I mean, we're going to have all eternity to praise God for who He is and how He has changed our lives.
I want to let the listeners know before we close out, because I am going to ask you to give our listeners some advice. I want you to give our listeners some advice before we close. But I want them to know today, before Sarah came to do this podcast, she and Carl prayed together. And so this is an example of how God can transform a situation.
Absolutely.
So what would be your advice to someone who's struggling to believe right now, Sarah?
I would definitely say, especially if you are struggling in a marriage, even if your husband is a Christian or not a practicing Christian, that God has a reason, and He wants us to depend on Him. He wants us to come to Him with our anger, with our fierce independence, with our pride, with everything. He wants us to come to Him. And the answers are, we will find the answers as we pray, as we get in a close relationship with Jesus, learn more about Him, and let Him take those kinds of concerns, that anger, and shine light on that, the light of eternity, that He is our God, and He is in a relationship with us, and He will bring us through it.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate for this opportunity to talk about these incredible aspects of your faith journey.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be able to share.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited, because new episodes release every week.